Alan. We've got this question here, which is,
how does a city, Cape Town for instance, run out of water?
This is a serious issue, isn't it? Cape Town looks like it's going to be one of the world's first major developments that will actually turn the taps off and people will have no water. How on earth has that happened?
It's a problem that many cities face, particularly in hot countries. I don't want to ascribe any blame to Cape Town people because I'm not that familiar with the problem, but it does look like a case of bad planning that every city knows it needs a certain amount of water. One thing you should be clear about is a sort of distinction between the residential uses for drinking and washing and so forth, as opposed to, say, agricultural uses, particularly in hot countries that could be irrigation or industrial uses. And those latter ones are usually the big users of water in hot countries, many, many times more than the cities there. And I don't know what's happened in Cape Town in that respect. I mean, I know they have the wineries, there'll be farms around Cape Town. They will have taken water, and I don't know what they're going to do about that. Obviously, you don't want all your vineyards to die. The farms are needed, but usually it's a comparatively small amount of water that you need to keep a city going. And one thing you can do is bring it in from somewhere else. In South Africa, they have the Lesotho Highlands Water Scheme. It's the neighbouring country, Lesotho, where they bring water from the dams in the mountains there. But they take those to the industrial areas elsewhere in north of South Africa. I don't think that gets down to Cape Town. But it really shouldn't have happened. I mean, many cities face this, even London, Miami, there's a big list, Perth in Western Australia, there's lots of cities face this problem. You just plan for it.
The thing that concerns me, though, is if you look at the reports of South Africa, there's a gentleman who drills boreholes, and he says he normally has five or six people on his books at any one time waiting for a borehole. He's now got 6,400 waiting for boreholes. So everyone's making their own salvation here, digging a borehole. This is going to deplete the groundwater. We're just kicking the can down the road, aren't we? Because we have not solved the underlying problem, which is a very big aggregation of people and insufficient water gathering in that particular area to service them.
That's absolutely right. The groundwater is very rapidly depleted if you start to pump it up, and that's happened in many places around the world. You really need to have a bigger approach to the problem. You see the Chinese, the South North Water Transfer Project, where they're taking vast quantities of water from, I think it's the Yangtze, and taking it thousands of miles north up to Beijing. There are many schemes like this around the world. There's a proposal to run a pipeline from a river in Turkey over to northern Cyprus that's sort of very dry. There are places in the world with lots of water, and it can be transferred. There's also the concept of virtual water that you sort of import, you know, chocolate or whiskey are very intensive. So don't make your own, because there's thousands and thousands of litres of water goes into 1 litre of whiskey. So buy the whiskey, 1 litre of whiskey, rather than bringing it in. And the same applies to tomatoes or all the way down. You can bring in the water intensive thing rather than trying to grow it yourself. Let the people with the water grow it.
Let the people with the water have the problem. Alan, thank you very much.